Hi, I'm Colin Richards and a part of Grace Church Truro. My wife Shirley and I have been coming to Grace Church since January this year. We moved back to Cornwall in November last year. We had lived here previously in the years 2002 to 2009. And in returning to our cottage on the first day of November, we returned to a cottage that had been rented out to tenants for 10 years and was in need of a great deal of repair and restoration. And I think that work is probably almost complete. Now, because of lockdown in March this year, we really haven't had an opportunity to get to know many of you. But we hope as the lockdown measures get relaxed more and more, we can put that to right and to get to know all of you very quickly. So, a word of welcome to Grace Church family to this online Bible talk for Sunday, August the 23rd. And a special welcome to those who might be watching via YouTube. Thank you for taking the time to watch this. I hope that you will find it of some help, and if you do, perhaps to create a link and to pass it on to others. Now, Grace Church Truro have organised a series of talks on the Lord's Prayer based on Matthew 6 and Luke 11. And we have reached this morning the last of those six requests. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, when we pray that prayer, what exactly are we asking for? What exactly is this prayer all about? Well, at its simplest, when we pray this prayer, I think we're asking, Lord, keep us from sin. Lord, keep us from sin. Now, really, this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer ought to be called the Disciples' Prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus gave to his followers. It was given to the subjects of King Jesus. If we're a part of his kingdom, then we need to pray regularly. And so Jesus gave this prayer as a help to us in order to pray. It's a kind of template for prayer, a pattern for prayer. When you pray, then pray like this. That's why at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Our Father in Heaven. This is a prayer for Christians. We come to God as our Father. And as we come to our Father, we come as his children. There is that special relationship, Father and children. And so when we pray this prayer, we pray this prayer as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that reason, we have first of all been set free from the penalty of sin. We have sinned against God. We have offended him. We have trampled his law under our feet. And we deserve his judgment. But Jesus has come in order to bear that judgment for us. He's come as our representative and as our substitute. He stood in our shoes. He took our place. He bore the punishment that our sins deserve. And if we trust in Jesus, then the punishment of our sin will never be laid at our door. The New Testament notes this in triumphant terms. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So as a Christian, we have been set free from the penalty of sin, but we've also been set free from the power of sin. Once we believed in Jesus, sin and Satan's grip on us was broken. Once we believed, sin and Satan no longer had the mastery over our lives. In the words of that old hymn, he breaks the power of cancelled sin and sets the prisoner free. So we have been set free from the penalty of sin and set free from the power of sin. And yet nonetheless, sin is an inescapable part of our lives. While we live here on this earth, we shall always have to pray this prayer, Lord, keep us from sin. Indeed, this prayer becomes a kind of measure of our spiritual stature. Do we take Jesus and his kingdom seriously? Do we take Jesus and his kingdom seriously in our personal lives, in our family life, in our workplace, in the wider community, in the church? And if we do take Jesus and his kingdom seriously in those various areas of life, then we shall pray this prayer each day and every day. Lord, keep us from sin. But this request is asking much more than that. It's asking that at least, but it's asking more than that. Lead us not into temptation. I hear somebody say, but I thought that God didn't tempt anybody to sin. Isn't that what we're told in James 1:13? God doesn't tempt any person to sin. And so if he doesn't, then why are we asking him not to lead us into temptation? Surely there's a contradiction there. Well, the footnote to the NIV in Matthew 6 comes to our rescue. We're told there that the word which is rendered temptation can also be rendered testing. Lord, keep us from times of testing. So that's the second thing that we can learn this morning. Lord, keep us from sin, but Lord, keep us from times of testing. What exactly are those times of testing? Well, almost anything and everything. The times of testing can be in our personal life, our health, our finance. They can be in our family life. They can be in the workplace, in society at large, even in the church. Now, why do we pray that the Lord would keep us from those times of testing, those times of trouble? Well, simply because times of testing, times of trouble are always dangerous times. You see, those times of testing can become an opportunity for Satan to take advantage of us and to make us stumble and fall, to be disloyal to the Savior and to let him down. And so in times of testing and times of trouble, we are in danger. We're in danger of sinning. And so we pray, Lord, keep us from times of testing. Remember, even Jesus was tempted by suffering. Troubles in themselves are not automatically a blessing. They can so easily be used by Satan in order to cause us to sin. So we pray, Lord, keep us from times of testing. But of course, God does allow us to go through times of testing. Indeed, the Christian will not escape times of testing completely in their life. There will always be an occasion, or occasions, plural, when we are put through a period of testing to test our faith, to test our character, to see what we're really like, to help us to grow and develop as a Christian. And when we go through those times of testing, then we pray, deliver us from the evil one. So that's the third thing. Lord, keep us from sin. Lord, keep us from times of testing, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, in older versions of the Lord's Prayer, we read, deliver us from evil. In the more modern versions, deliver us from the evil one. Which version is right? Well, the construction of the words goes something like this: deliver us from the evil. And it can be evil, therefore, or evil one. Both are right, both are correct. What we need to remember is that although we pray for deliverance from the evil one, from Satan, he is not the only threat to our spiritual life in times of trouble. We are under threat from our evil hearts. Even though we may be Christians and our hearts have been changed, nonetheless they can still be treacherous and deceitful and lead us astray. Deliver us from our evil hearts. And also too, we need to be delivered from an evil world. This world is a world which is ultimately without God and opposed to God. And the world can tempt us into sin. It can cause us to stumble. Sometimes the world temptations are blatant. The world tempts us to engage in open sin, to lie, to steal, to be discontent, to be angry. But sometimes the temptations of the world are more subtle. See, there are many good things in this world that we can enjoy. We can enjoy pleasure. We can enjoy our family. We can enjoy our work. And those things are good, and we can rejoice in them as God's good gifts to us. But those gifts can so easily take control of us. Instead of becoming our servants, they become our masters. Instead of us, as it were, keeping them in check, they take us over and they dominate our lives and begin to exclude God from our life. So we need to pray for deliverance, not simply from an evil heart, but also from an evil world. But we'll go with the text. Deliver me from the evil one. That is, from Satan. Now, there is a complete passage in the New Testament that is devoted to this whole topic of Satan and his attack on us as Christians. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through to 20. It's a passage that deals with what we would call spiritual warfare. Paul reminds us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the powers of this dark world, of the spiritual forces of evil that exist in the heavenly realms. We have a real enemy and his demons, his hordes, his helpers. And if we take seriously the Christian life, we must also take seriously spiritual warfare, the threat of Satan, his attack upon our lives. Now, how are we delivered from the evil one when we go through times of testing and times of trouble? Well, there are two things at least that we can learn from that passage. One is that we're to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He empowers us to overcome Satan and to resist him. As we dig deeply into his word, as we enjoy good and rich fellowship with the Saviour, then we shall know how to overcome him. But he's also given us a heavenly armour. You see, this evil one, he can be represented as an angel of light to deceive us, or he can be seen as a roaring lion and he wants to devour us. And so we need heavenly protection, and the Saviour's given us heavenly armour. We have shoes, we have a breastplate, we have a helmet, we have a belt, we have a sword, we have a shield. No armour for the back though, because the Christian is never to turn its back on Satan and run. We're to stand up to him. Scripture says we are to resist him steadfast in the faith, and he will flee from us. In Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, he has Christian fighting Satan in his journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And while he's fighting Satan, Christian calls for a piece of armour that he describes as all prayer. And he bases that description of this piece of armour on the verses that are found in Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, where Paul exhorts believers to engage in all kinds of prayer on all occasions with all perseverance and for all saints. And hence the reference to all prayer as a piece of armour. I'm not sure Bunyan was right that all prayer is a piece of the armour. It doesn't really fit the description of the heavenly armour. But what he is right in suggesting is that prayer is an essential part of our spiritual warfare. There's a hymn that talks about putting on the armour of God, each piece put on with prayer. Prayer is the kind of atmosphere in which we live and therefore fight. And if we would succeed in our spiritual warfare, if we would be delivered from the evil one, we must be given much to prayer. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. The old hymn says that long as they live would Christians pray, for only while they pray they live. So those are three lessons that we've learnt this morning. Lord, keep us from sin. Lead us not into times of testing. But if we have to go through those times of testing, deliver us from Satan. Now, somebody might be listening to this morning and saying to themselves, I know how important this prayer is. I know how important this request is. But you see, I was tempted by Satan. My evil heart gave in to those temptations and I sinned. and I fell. I sinned grievously. It was open, flagrant sin, and I'm so caught up about it, and I feel, I feel in despair. I feel rejected. I suppose the real question, you say, that I have is there a way back for me? And that's often the question which people who have sinned grievously ask: is there a way back for me? And the answer is yes, there is a way back. The way back is the way that you first came to Christ. Acknowledge your sin. Tell him you've done wrong. Say sorry for what you've done wrong and turn your back on that sin and those sins and be determined that you will serve Christ with all your heart. And if you want an encouragement that this is possible and has happened and will continue to happen, then just think of Peter in the New Testament. Here was a man who promised to serve the Lord in his hour of need, and yet he didn't. He failed. He denied our Lord three times, and not just that, he denied him with oaths and curses. And yet he repented. The Lord restored him. He was taken back, as it were, into the fold of the leadership of that first century church and became one of the great preachers of the gospel. So don't let Satan keep you in despair. When we sin against the Saviour, we should feel it keenly. But don't stay there. There is recovery. There is hope. There is restoration. And then we can carry on praying this prayer: Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Just one final comment on this request, indeed the last three requests. When we start this prayer, we pray Our Father in heaven, because we're taught there to pray with others, not My Father, Our Father. But in the last three requests, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're taught there to pray for others. And when I think of that, I think of those that once walked in the fellowship of the church with us. We all know those people. While they were in the church, they were exemplary in their conduct. They prayed every time there was a prayer meeting. They were always on the lookout to help and care for fellow Christians. And there was always a spirit of adventure in the way they witnessed to their folk at home or in the workplace or in the neighbourhood. Passion and enthusiasm characterised their life. And then, one day, things began to change. It was as if the engine of their life was switched off. Still moving, but not so fast. The passion, the enthusiasm went. No longer did they pray regularly. No longer did they care in the same way for Christians as once they did. And their concern to witness began to wane. And then their attendance was erratic at the meetings, and it wasn't long before we saw them no more. Gone. Left the church. Indeed, you might say, well, I know some of those folks still. I still see them. And you would be surprised when you look at them that they perhaps ever made a profession of Christianity. But when I think of those people, and we all know them, we all have some awareness of those kinds of people, we need to ask ourselves in the light of these last three requests, when they were going through a difficult time, or even before that, did I pray for them? Did I pray for them regularly? Did I pray with them, pray for them with earnestness and passion and expectancy? Because the truth is, you see, that my prayer life can have an impact for good on the spiritual lives of others. What a prayer this is that the Saviour has given us as an encouragement to pray. Our Father in heaven, let your name be honoured. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. Have a great week. And I hope it won't be long before we can all meet up together. God bless you.